All right, guys, we are live. It is Rickin, and we are on the YouTube channel. And today's live stream is all about what to do when the seller doesn't accept your cash offer. And if you're not prepared for this moment, you probably just haven't done wholesaling long enough. So I have been in this situation tens of thousands of times. And the key to understand is not to panic. So what I want to do is we are going to take this live stream and dedicate it towards what to do when your cash offer doesn't get accepted. And what you have to first understand is this is a majority of the time. So if you don't prepare for this, not necessarily that it's an objection, but just to understand how do I attack this and how do I turn it into the best positive outcome as possible. That's what we're here to attack today, and that's what I'm going to talk about. And honestly, I'm an expert on the subject because I've been through it so many dang times. So I'm wearing my trusted glasses today. Yes, I wear contacts. I know you guys aren't used to it, but sometimes you got to give your eyes a break. So what I want you to do is we've kind of got a new studio set up, so you guys don't get completely bored with me. Is you have two ways to interact with me on here. And so I try to make this channel much more personable. And most importantly is you guys can connect with me. So number one, you have the comments. And this is a place just put in your questions. I don't care if you've never done a deal or if you've done thousands of deals. If you want to talk about wholesaling, this is what I do. I don't talk about anything else because this is what I'm an expert at. So I'm an expert at wholesaling. I'm an expert at families. And I love the fish in the outdoors, but I don't do a channel on that one because that's what my passion fuels, which is wholesaling. So use the comments, ask questions. And this is a great place that you can interact with people. Heck, you can even do JV deals with people. So make sure that the person is, you vet them on your own. Just because they're on the Rickin channel doesn't mean I actually know them. But for the most part, everybody's here for the exact same reason, to figure out this thing called wholesaling. And I've been doing it 21 years. So I can bring you, honestly, I think the best content to help you get through it, because I still remember like it was yesterday when I started out wholesaling, and I want to help you out. So if that's what you want to do, use the comments. Also, we have a one-on-one I am going to share with you right now. I'm just going to copy this. Let's see how to do this. You can tell I'm not the, let's put this in the comment sections. If you want to do a one-on-one with me, I'm going to put the link up right now. It's under Rickin on that comment. I promise you it's safe. Just go there, make sure you register at StreamYard. And if you want to do one one-on-one, if you want to get online. And then what I'm going to do is just, we're going to go through the mechanics of what to do when your cash offer doesn't get accepted. The key is don't panic. You've got to remember that. So many of you guys panic, which creates hysteria, which freaks your sellers out, which doesn't get you a great deal. But if you want to do the one-on-ones, click on that link. Just get in line. And as many questions as I have, I promise you, I will answer them. So what else do we have here? Use the comments section. And also, let me see here. Just make sure you subscribe to this channel. Why? Because it helps so many others just like you to find the content on wholesaling so they can get started. So many people have to go through this guru gate when they get started. Just to let you know, if you're brand new in wholesaling, you are a target and they will take as much money from you as can. And you're going to have a high rate of failure. It's just the truth, guys. It's not even debatable anymore. It's the truth. It doesn't mean you don't have to pay for instruction. But if you're brand new, I want you to learn and figure out how to get started in this business. And the best way to start is go over to freewholesaling.com. And if you're new to this, this is a course that I've developed through my 21 years of knowledge. My son has contributed over the last 6 years because I taught him this business. And when I taught my son how to do this business, I had an epiphany go off. And I just teach the basic mechanics of what you have to do on a daily basis to be successful at wholesaling. And here's the best part. The whole dang thing's free. Now, a lot of you think, oh my God, here we go. Someone's doing something free. I've done this free for 3 years, 100%. I think we have we're around 10,000 testimonials. Nobody has more testimonials than we do at freewholesaling.com. You know why? Because number one, we don't ask for a testimonial. They're 100% organic. So you don't have to worry about some paid service like spinning you. And number two, it works. The reality of the wholesaling business is most of you guys are pumped up. You get super excited and then you pay for a course. And most of the time you're let down to find out the person doesn't even wholesale anymore. You know, you're never getting that with me and Zach. So I love this business. I can attest 21 years. There's very few people that have been in 21 years that consistently still wholesale. Do I do other things? Absolutely. I do commercial. I do Airbnb. I do all that stuff. I do creative financing. But I am here to focus on wholesaling because that is the gateway to really get you not only financially free, but to get you freedom of your time. And I want you to understand that. And if I can connect with anybody on this live, this is how we're going to do it. So let me jump into the lesson. So I got plenty of people coming on the stream so I can get time with you. So you guys know how to start. And for God's sakes, if you enjoy this content, make sure you smash the like button. Once again, I'm vain. I like to get some likes and you know, I'm an old man with glasses today, so I can't see. So before we get started, I want to kind of put something out there. I know me and Zach pushed the most content out there and I was featured on, I don't know, it was YTY or something like that. And what they did is they took little clips and it was a negative. Listen, I don't even care. I mean, publicity is publicity, but they took a negative article about wholesaling and how people like rip people off. And then I was quoted on like, I'm a low ball. And if you don't feel in the pit, your stomach can make a low enough offer, like you didn't do it right. And you know what? I 100% stand behind these statements. See, it's easy to take snippets from people, but they conveniently cut out, you've got to be truthful, you've got to be honest, and you can never force someone to take a deal. They conveniently left that part out of my clip, which I find ironic. Since I've been doing this 21 years, I've never, ever had a complaint. I am completely compliant. I have funded over 3,000 deals, but I'm a bad guy because I say lowball. So I find it like ridiculous. I stand behind it. Yes, I used a lowball method. You know why? Because we buy ugly houses. We buy houses that need tons of repairs, tons of neglect. And if you don't buy them cheap, we can't make it work. So please keep quoting and taking snippets of me, teaching people how to be financially free, how to help people. And you know what? I've always told you guys, I am in it for a win-win-win. I help out the seller because they want to get rid of the property. I help out the new cash buyer because they get a project at a great deal. And then I help out my business and my family because I provide a service. And if you want to take a snippet out of me and you can't even pronounce my name right because you guys are like news media. So they call me Rick Ginn. So anybody who knows me, they know my name is Ginn. So I stand by it. I don't care. Like anybody can take a snippet of what you do. I honestly believe you still have to do the low ball and you have to go for no. Because we are running a business. Every other company does it. Why do you think we do it different? The exception is I don't take advantage of people and all I do is try to help people out. So I see a lot of people have been commenting on like, hey, I saw you on that. Guys, I stand by what I do. Like this is what we do. Do you want to overpay for properties and then you take a loss? We help people out. So when you see articles like this, stuff like that, and I'm not even going to comment on the other stuff because I know about all the other doings is I've always told you, take care of your sellers, create win-win situations. But if you want to just quote me and say, this is the lowball guy and that's how they take advantage of people, it's ridiculous. Anybody can do that. And I appreciate you guys sharing that video with me like that. I just think it's kind of funny. Like, where has capitalism gone in this country? It's like, nobody can make a money if... I never take advantage of sellers and I've always taught you to do the right thing. And I just want you to understand that. So it's out there. Millions of people are viewing it, whatever it is, what it is. I'm not going to change. This is who I am. I'm authentic. I tell you how it is. I've always told you can never force someone to do a deal with you. Either it works or it doesn't. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. So without further ado, let's roll into it. So I want to tell you, what do you do when your cash offer doesn't get accepted? So number one, I want to let you know, it's absolutely okay. honestly, sometimes, like, I can't tell you how many times, especially when I started, I pushed and pushed to get an offer and it didn't get accepted. And I got really upset about it. And sometimes the world has this weird way of working to help you from your own self. A lot of times a seller will do you a favor by not taking your offer. And I know that sounds crazy, but I can't tell you how many times I was wrong in the beginning and I put in a low offer. They didn't accept it. Somebody else got the offer and that person got stuck with the property for a long time and they did me a huge favor. So number one, it's okay. You're going to get more rejected than you get accepted. So embrace it. Like, don't worry about it. So what you've got to understand is I'm going to give you the dog story. And so I've got a mutt. We love him in the family, but he's been around a long time. But my dog used to go out the, you know, if you have like a screen patio door and I got a big giant yard, he would go out there. I let him do his business. And then, you know, not that it gets cold in Florida, but sometimes it's windy and rainy. I'm like, you know, come on in. And the dang dog would not come in no matter how many times I called his name. I would scream. And then I made the mistake of going out and trying to find him in the yard. So a lot of times it was late at night. The dog's dark black. So it was hard to find. So I would hear him and he'd move around and I kept chasing around. Well, sometimes it's going 10, 15 minutes. And any of you who own a dog know how frustrating this is. And I finally, after doing this over and over, like an idiot, I decided to just go back through the screen door and just let it shut. And I quickly learned when he heard that screen door shut, my dog knew he was all alone and then panicked and would run back to the door. So what I'm trying to teach you here is if you chase your sellers too hard, even if you are the right fit, you freak them out. Sometimes over pursuing, which is a natural tendency when you start out wholesaling, you make people nervous and you've got to be aware of this. They always tell you, always got to be closing. It's the complete opposite in wholesaling. You actually have to act a bit uninterested and you definitely have to be separated from the outcome if they accept your contract. And most of you in the beginning are so eager to get your deals accepted, your anxiety builds up and you send a vibe to your seller and you can freak them out. Let me ask you this. Have you ever wanted to buy something so bad and you wanted it and you just like got super aggressive? You can freak people out to the point they go, either I'm not charging you enough or I'm missing something or I've got this thing so lowly priced, I screwed up. And so you start creating this doubt when you chase them. So think of the dog story when you first deal with people because it makes a tremendous difference. And this is a skill that has to be learned. Remember, you're not going to force anyone to sell you a house. So once you get over that, stop chasing them. Rule number one, if you don't chase, there is no chase to engage. I just dealt with a deal, literally. I've been chasing on a commercial project for quite a few months. And you know what? It just, the negotiations got ridiculous. Now, I use realtors and brokers for the whole thing, but I just said, hey, that's the best we can do. And we walked away. I was threatened with multiple backup offers, all this stuff. I said, God bless you. I told the realtor to walk away. 2 weeks goes by. Guess what? Hey, Mr. Rick, we want to talk. Can we reopen the negotiations? Guess who's in control when that happens? Why? Because you stop chasing, things happen for you. When you chase, they always think they can get more and they're going to keep pulling from you. So understand that. So how do I stop chasing? The first thing you have to understand is you have to understand the art of detachment. And this is a skill set that it's a lost art. And here's what I mean by it is you have to make an offer. There's a limit in what you can make the offer. And if they don't accept your offer, you have to be okay with it and you have to move on. You're going to have a good day no matter what, if they take the offer or not. And if you can accept that, your business will explode. Because if you're dependent on it, it means you're going to do whatever you can to make that offer stick. And you're not going to stick to your rules of wholesaling, whatever your numbers were. And you're going to get yourself in trouble really quick. So learning the art of detachment. Remember, you and only you have the choice to be happy. And if you're going to let the outcome of a contract dictate how the rest of your day is going to go, your business, the rest of your work week or your day, you're going to be in trouble in this business. We already know most people are going to not cooperate, meaning they're not going to accept our offer. And I'm okay with that. But the minute you decide I have to have this offer or my business is doomed, you're done. You see, people can sense if you're attached to something, and people can sense when you're not attached to something. And when you're not attached to something, it just feels better in this entire world. And I don't know how else to tell you that. It's just the truth. So the utter detachment, the reality is, it's okay to have emotions when you put out a contract and you have to wait for a response. But once you put it out there, leave your lines open, leave your communications open, and walk away and go to the next deal. And if it works, then that's great. But so many times you guys get so upset if you get a maybe or like, I don't know, or like, but today we're talking about when your cash offer gets rejected. So let's kind of keep moving forward. Now, before you get into any of this, I want you to understand this is you got to have an upfront agreement with these people. And if you don't know what the upfront agreement is, go over to freewholesaling.com. I go into grave detail on this, but basically you're saying, listen, no matter what, seller, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to listen to you. And at the end of this, either we're going to do business or we're going to be friends, but either way, I want to help you out. But you got to make a decision. And your decision is yes to work with Rick. Great. If it's no, I can handle it. Just give me a hard no. Can we agree to have a decision by the outcome of this meeting? Yes. That's it. If you don't do that, you wind up in maybe land or let me think it over land, and you'll never get out of it. Now, that doesn't guarantee someone still won't like make a decision. And that's what we're here to talk about today. But now we're talking about when they actually flat out just won't agree to your cash offer. But the upfront agreement, guys, it will eliminate so many of your problems. And a lot of you are scared to have it. And I'm telling you, by not having that conversation, you just create more anxiety and you create a pain on the back end. And the pain is mostly on you. Trust me, I've been there. I know this better than anybody. Now, here's the reality. The reality is when somebody rejects your offer, sometimes it's not just about the number. I want you to think about that. So many times, you've got to understand, most people, when we're dealing with them, when they're selling their home, it is usually one of their biggest decisions in their life. And when people have to make big decisions, they want reassurance. And if you don't give them that reassurance, they're going to seek it from lawyers, realtors, title companies, neighbors, friends, and family. Your job is to try to reassure them the best as possible they're making the right decision. Now, sometimes it's not just price, and that's what you have to understand. So the first thing we have to understand is, why is my offer being rejected? And if you can get to the core of this answer, you'll know exactly which way to attack to try to save your deal. Now, you have to understand this. Well, Rick, they just said no to my offer. No, no, no. They're saying no to something. So if you look back, always just so when it hits there, the first thing you want to do is go back to, where did this deal come from? What lead source did it come from? Did it come from code violations? Did it come from tax delinquency? And that will help you a little bit with the root of the problem. Now, if they're one from the government list, often foreclosures, tax delinquencies, code violations, people are big time procrastinators. That's what they do. And it's common to have this. And by the way, one of the biggest fixes I have is just have a constant line of communication with these people till you get to a decision. You can't have too many conversations with someone, but if you have a huge gap between your conversations, you can have a lot of issues. So you have to understand, why are they rejecting it? Sometimes the reality is, most of you go, Rick, it's just price. They don't like my price and that's it. Before you start attacking price and everything else, go back to the fundamental root. And here's what I say. Mr. Seller, you said you wanted to sell the house by this date and you just need to get out from it. We talked about a number. I made an offer based on the numbers you gave me, What did I miss? And so the idea is sometimes it's not even the number. And so many of you guys attack number right off the bat. Now, I will tell you this. If it's just price and that seller is only focused on getting a certain number, which there's certain sellers that are like that, I'm just going to give you the truth of this business. Nobody tells you, you're not getting that deal. Because to get the highest price possible, you got to go in realtor world. You got to go in the retail world. And you will not make it in wholesaling by trying to get those people. Those are people that want to sell their house. They don't need to sell their house. And the sooner you understand that, there's not much you can do for that one other than go up in your price. But if you're already at your close to your MAO, what's the point? You're going to have to move on, give them some time, and you can put them in a follow-up. Don't sit here and spend your energy on people that want to sell their house because they're just going to take the highest bidder. And even if you put them under contract, most likely they're going to backdoor you on a contract. Yes, it's incorrect. It is a defensible defense in the court of law. But the reality is I've never sued a homeowner. You'd have to do something really bad to have me do that. But like, if you deal with enough people, that's just a waste of time and resources. So if it's just price and all it is price and there's nothing else, odds are they are not going to be your seller. They are not. It's just not going to work. They need to go see a realtor. That's it. And if you accept that, move on, because you can't waste energy trying to force people to sell you a house because it's never going to work. If it's just price and we're trying to get the lowest price available, you understand the conflict there. Don't waste your time on that. But I'm here to tell you, often it's not just price. Here's the next one. You ready? Is it you? I can tell you, man, sometimes you can rub a seller the wrong way. And when I say it's you, don't take it personally, but sometimes if we're new to the business and we have a little, we're very like sometimes you just get jacked up. So it might be your first appointment. You get super excited. Maybe you got ADHD like me and your energy makes the seller nervous. And they said, listen, I got to sell this house. I'm getting liens on it and everything like that. But they're just not confident in your ability to buy it. And honestly, I've had this happen to me before. It's definitely happened to Zach. And a lot of you on the stream, you can absolutely relate to it because a lot of you are like, oh my God, is it me? I've never bought a house before. You have to exude confidence, but sometimes we lean the wrong way. So I'm an ADHD guy. I'm a high energy guy. And some mellow, calm down people, like they get freaked out with my energy and I get it. So remember, it's your job to mirror your seller, not the other way around. So you have to match them. And sometimes we screw up and it's okay. And so the key is if you kind of know it's you, I'm going to give you the tricks to fix it because this is kind of the easier part of the deal. And I want you to understand this. So guys, I'm going to get to your questions. I'm working a little slow today because I got my specs on it. So if it's you, here's a technique I use. Just get personal because you got to bring them back. The number one thing a motivated seller wants to do is solve a problem. They want certainty. They want to get the house sold. The only skill set you can really reassure them is that it's going to get done. And how do you do that? You get personal with them. I go back to and remind them, hey, what was your goal? And I always want a goal, an outcome with a seller. They say, hey, I want to get rid of this house by this month so I can get on with my life. I can live with my family and take care of dad or whatever. That's where you get personal and you focus on that. That's it. Because a lot of times they're just scared. They're procrastinating. It's a huge decision, but they know it needs to be done. Remember, I always talk about you being the guide and walking them through this decision matter. You never can force them, but you can guide them. And I have met so many sellers that are so scared to make a decision because it seems so final. But they know if they don't make a decision, they can't get out of the current environment they're in. And our job is to guide them through it. And if you can show that confidence through guiding them through it and get personal with it, here's the truth. Most sellers we deal with, motivated sellers, they make emotional decisions. That's why they're in the position they are. It's our job to be responsible and help guide them through their options on how we can help fix this problem for it. And if you can do that in a reassuring manner, engage them with their eyes, get them to laugh, and really have a conversation and build a massive amount of rapport, there is no reason you can't do exactly what I do. And this is what I do every time someone says, hey, Rick, I can't take your offer. It's just not going to work out. I've had people say, hey, Rick, they take the offer and they sign and they still make that crazy phone call. And it drives me crazy. The next one, your terms. They don't like your terms. Well, Rick, you said you're going to buy it 4 months out. I get it. You're trying to get the longest terms possible, but sometimes it doesn't agree with them. And you got to go back and find out what their terms are. So many times as investors, we put in the terms that we want. And you've got to understand you have to take in consideration what your seller wants, because your offer should be catered around what they want, especially if you're getting a great price. And here's what I always say. I'm not living in your home, and I want you to close on the date of your choice at your convenience. And so many times they go, well, I'll close it in 30 days or I'll close it in 90 days. That's too long. That's too short. Remember, focus on what your seller needs. And this is a great time to reiterate and go back to them and say, listen, I understand you're hesitant with my cash offer. And I try, is it the terms? Is it me? Is it the price? What is it? Now, price is always a little bit of a combination, but if it's pure price, I'm just telling you, don't waste your time. It's not going to work. The only thing that cures price is time, period. You got to let people soak in that property and go through like retail hell of a realtor. And even then, it's not the easiest thing in the world. So look at your terms and see if it matches to your sellers and make adjustments for them. Tell them, yeah, I want to work with you and help you out with it. So, and I want you to understand this. You've got to engage your team. So here's the most common thing we deal with. A lot of times I'll take your offer because maybe you just have no experience doing it. That's fine. So remember, I teach you how to build your team. You don't know how to do this, go to freeholdselling.com. Is you want to use your title company. You want to use everybody on your team to help you out. So a lot of times people are like, well, I don't know if this is a scam or not. How do I know you're legit? Now I'm here to tell you, this thing where people do websites, you can put all your testimonials up there. I've been doing this a long time. Nobody cares about that. My recommendation, if you want to get credibility for social content, the easiest thing is simple YouTube videos, do seller testimonials, or just do a video, a 1 or 2 minute infomercial, what you do, and just post some stuff on like some appointments you go on and stuff like that. So they kind of know, hey, they're for real. And number two is just a simple Facebook page. Why? Because it's simple. People can search it. It doesn't cost you any money. Don't do any of these SEO, these pay-per-click stuff like that. And honestly, don't build a website just to promote your company, because sellers don't care. I've probably had 30 websites. I've gotten rid of every one of them, because just have one singular place where people can go, and that's all they want to do. The best credentials you can get outside of you is third-party endorsement, and it's your title company. So when people are uncomfortable with me, and it happens all the time, and they will be with you, tell them to meet you over at your title company and get your title rep to help explain what a credible, great person you are, how you're using a third party that's licensed and insured, and they will handle the financials and they will handle the title. And we're going to do this all legal and above board. And if you have any questions, please reach out to the title company, because we're here to serve you. So many times I took my sellers to a title company. It's like everything, because now they're reassured with what you're doing. And now you just got to get down to the final number. Now, the reality is sometimes, let me put this on here, you got to step it up. So when we deal with people with procrastination on, you know, tax delinquencies, foreclosures, code violations, is make it personable. Do something to help them. And we're in a much more different society. In the old days, I used to pick people up for closings. I suggest you now use Uber or Lyft. You can do some stuff virtually. I now have a preset list of local moving companies to help them out. Sometimes I'll give them a credit or towards the moving company. You got to know what your risk tolerance is to do this. You never, ever pay directly for any of these because you don't want to be liable, but you can give a credit on their closing to help with the mover, and the mover does the day of the closing. So it's all funded right there. but just get personal and help them out. I don't want you helping moving. I don't want you to be liable. I don't want you to give people rides like I used to. I used to have to do some crazy stuff to get people to closings. But today we are in a world where you have to do some special offerings sometimes to help people out, to get them through it. I've brought lunch. I've brought dinner. I've done everything I humanly possibly could to get people to a closing. But be very aware of your liability if you're going to do any of that stuff. And anytime you can outsource it to another party, it's going to protect you somewhat. So just be careful with that. And you know what the reality is, guys? Is sometimes your deals just, they get rejected. Now, if you've gone through all these steps to save the deal, and so here's key number one. If at all possible, meet with your seller in person to discuss why they're not taking your offer. Why? Visual clues are so much better than they are on the phone. But on the phone, you just have to listen twice as hard. And you got to listen for inflections in their voice. And the sooner that time frame you can connect with them, the better, the more time that goes through, your deal just falls apart naturally. So usually within 24 hours, a maximum 48 hours, that is your time to save any deal. And a lot of times you just got to walk them through, just like you're a guide, and walk through why you guys met, what they wanted to accomplish, and what you offered to accomplish it, and guide them through the process and get the seller out of their own way. That is what I am absolutely best in. And that's what I've always taught you. This is what I taught Zach. These are the exact skill sets that we both share. I mean, we are blood, but like he spent so much time with me. And he has this stuff naturally built into him. He takes it a step further than me. You guys know he's really good. And I love him for that. But I just want you to understand, Rick, if it still gets rejected, here's the best part. You are not going to chase like a rabid dog because it's going to make it worse. Let a little bit of time go by and then have a reason to call your seller back. Now, here's a technique I've done that for you to call the seller back in like 3 days or a week and go, Mr. Seller, have you changed your mind on that offer? It's terrible. It's so transparent and it doesn't look good. Now, sometimes that property will go under contract with another wholesaler or like a realtor or something like that. And honestly, I get super excited when that happens because if I had to put in a low offer because that's what the numbers were and somebody overpays for it, the odds of them being able to convert that property and make money with it are slim to none. So when that contract expires in 30 or 45 days, it's much easier for me to slide in and then they can have that coming to Jesus meeting a lot easier. Because if someone lies to them, gets them a number and they can't fulfill it, and then I'm still right here being consistent. And here's why I tell them, I was honest with you and I was fair with you. They will come back to you so much harder. So here's the key is you got to let time go by. I am not a proponent of calling somebody every day to see if they're going to take my offer. Now, here's the technique. Instead of saying, hey, Colin, you're going to reconsider my offer, call for some other random thing. Hey, John, I'm calling you. I forgot to ask you. Is that pool, is it saltwater or freshwater in the back? I was just curious. Because I'm considering possibly doing that with another one of my properties, or my wife wants to do it with mine, and you seem like to be the expert on it. Boom. Because I remember John spent a lot of time discussing that pool. He spent 40 minutes, and I've had a customer do this to me before, and I listened to him. He's very passionate about the pool, and he wants me to understand it. So what do? I engage what's very personal to him. Instead of, hey, John, did you reconsider my offer? I just call him. Hey, John. Hey, I got a quick question about the pool. John gets excited, starts talking to me. And then he's like, you know, it's Rick. I can ask, what did you ever wind up doing with the property? The key is here. I didn't ask if you reconsider my offer. And either they have it listed with somebody else and it's failing, or they haven't made a final decision. And sometimes, hey, John, would you sit down with a cup of coffee with me and, you know, I'm open to discussing this to see how we can bridge the gap. And it's simple like that. You guys who call and just say, hey, listen, if you reconsider my offer or something like that, you can't do it. You've got to have what I call like a step conversation. Have something that relinks you together, that makes them super excited, get them passionate and talking and conversing with you. Then you go back and you address the property. Because when you hit them right off the bat, they're going to be in the defense mode and you're most likely going to get a negative answer. So two things that can change an offer without you, it's time and circumstance, and it's okay. I've had people come back years later, change their mind and get it done. Just as long as you understand that, that is going to be the key. Guys, people reject our offers all the time. And if you understand that going into it, it's not a big deal. And I want you to understand, the next time your offer gets rejected, just connect with them, try to meet with them in person if it's possible. I know some of you guys do it virtually, and we do it too. Is there's something about people do not like to reject you in person. They don't. So I know if I go in person, I increase my odds by 50%. So if you're doing a local market and you're doing that, just take your time and listen. If it's solely price, odds are it probably wasn't a great wholesale to begin with. If it's price and a combination of things, work through the combination of things and try to make them, just try to make it more workable for your client. And then if it's just you, use your third parties, AKA your title company, even if you work with a lawyer or something like that, and just have them let you know, hey, listen, Rick's confident, he's assurance. Guys, I use third party on one of my my deal 2 and 3 when I got started out in wholesaling back in 2003-04 because I got called to the table. I had no idea what I was doing. Remember, our job is to find motivated sellers, track them, give them creative offers, and get the best price under contract. And then we move forward and sort it out. And so many people try to figure out this entire business from head to toe. My favorite ones, I go, hey, Rick, I almost get this on a daily basis. I know a lot of people. I'm talking about people outside of the wholesaling business. They go, Rick, I found a list of foreclosures. Can you give them to me and then we can split the deals? And I have always one simple question. Did you talk to them? If you didn't talk to them, you're not bringing any value to the table because I can get those lists from anywhere. The value is always in connecting with home sellers and just being a great listener. And if you can be a great listener, you can strike up a great conversation, and a great conversation usually turns into a great wholesale deal. And nobody wants to take the time to do this anymore. And that's why we have so many problems wholesaling. We try to run people over. And at the end of the day, wholesaling is nothing more than a people business. The real estate is just a side effect of human problems. That's all it is. That's why I like it so much. Real estate's just the math. And once you figure the math out, you got to deal with the human emotions and how can I help you get to the spot you want to get? And that's all we do. We are going to get rejected. And the sooner you can get past that, the better you're going to do. We come up with a society where everything's supposed to be perfect. You're supposed to get an A on this and everyone's supposed to say yes. And that's not the reality of the world we live in. So if you want to get stuck in the matrix and do that, be my guest. You're not going to get anywhere doing that. So I'm okay if people are going to make quotes about me and, you know, hey, Rick, he teaches this wholesaling where they lowball. I do, because that's how the business has run. Period. End of story. And if the truth hurts certain types of people in society, then so be it. I'm here. I'm dedicated for wholesalers and that's what we do. And I'm never going to change it. So let's jump in and let me jump through some comments here. All right, guys, I need to get some help here sometimes. Lots of comments. So I appreciate all the comments. And honestly, your comments helps me give feedback of like what you guys want to talk about and everything. Let's see here. Let me jump in. What's up, Jonathan? How you doing? I love my loyal listeners. What's up, Nick? Jason is always here, and I love what Jason does. If you guys haven't connected with Jason, he's got a great story in this business. I love what he does. And Nick's, so anybody asks if you want to talk about probates today, this is correct. Nick's 100% on this. So read the comment out there. That the key with probates, because it's not expensive to do, it's a pain in the butt, but it's all about consistency. Most people quit between 30 and 90 days. Actually, 98% of people quit. Why? Because they want instant results. They want 100 leads. It's one or two leads here and there. And when you get them, you connect with them and you make monstrous amounts of profits. And if it was a deal where I got 100 leads a month, it wouldn't work because then everybody would do it. And I want you to think about that. So, Nick says, I know nothing about TYT. I honestly don't care because there is only one group I subscribe to. Actually, there's three. That's a lie. Obviously, wholesaling. That's what I do. It's what I'm passionate about. And you can take snippets of whatever you want of me. I stand by them. Like, this is a business. And if the truth hurts you, I can't help you. Number two, I'm a huge family man. Whatever provides for my family, helps my family out, or makes them prosper, I am all about it. And as long as it helps everybody else. And number three, I'm just a dang American, man. Like, I love this country. I love the opportunities. And if you ever leave this country, you'll understand what I mean. I've left it a few times, and it's shocking outside this country. There's other great countries. I have no problem with it, but I've never found one where you can do the opportunities like you can in America. That's why wholesaling only really works in America. I'm sure it works in other countries, talked about in Canada, some other stuff, but no, like, you can 100% legally do it here. And I'll argue this with anybody. And if you're subscribed to those three channels, you're in the right place. If you want me to spoon feed you a bunch of crap that doesn't work, there's plenty of guys on the internet that will give you that, especially in wholesaling. So that being said, I just love that whole thing. And the funny thing is as somebody who was on that video clip with me, actually, we had to get a legal team involved with them because they muddied up one of our deals before, and they do it all the time, and they try to strong arm everybody. And by the way, that's a franchise of a wholesaling business, and I'll just kind of leave it at that. But the rest of us have to pay the price for it. But you know what? Even bad news is good news sometimes. Even bad publicity, isn't that what they say? So I appreciate it. So yeah, so a little bit of a new background. I'm not, you know, I trust Zach. He's really good with it. But we're working on some ideas to kind of change it up a little bit. So put your comments in there if you have any other questions. We'll keep going through this. Let's see. Okay, so let's jump on and let's work it in order here. Aaron, you there?
What's going on, Rick?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Pretty good. I haven't got to meet you yet. I talked to Zach a little bit.
Uh-oh. Now you get the old bull. What's going on, man?
Honestly, I went through the priority probate system, and I watched that video 100 times, but the Excel and the Word templates that I got off of it, for some reason, whenever I type in all the information on the Excel sheet and then try to merge the deal, it don't pop up like you said. But also the preview results, it will not give me an option to click that. And
okay, so I'm going to give you a little heads up because I spent a lot of time, actually a 5-year period, you know, working through all that stuff. So I know by memory what you're telling me. Like, I feel it. Okay. I'm fortunate enough not to do it anymore. And so here's the challenge is I put out material and we spent a lot of time updating it, by the way. And, are you in Flip with Rick Plus, or are you just doing it through Free Wholesaling, or?
No, I'm with Plus.
Okay. So, you said you're inside of Flip with Rick Plus, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So send me a direct message. By the way, you have that ability with me. Okay. And I will send you a video. It's a custom video. And I will walk you through that problem. But what you need to do is tell me what system you're operating on. Like a PC,
It's
iOS, a MacBook. HP. If you can send me the details to that, I'll send you a video, and if not, I'll reshoot you it. And that's the benefit of working like Flip with Rick Plus. Like, I want to help you out. It's just, guys, understand it's hard to help everybody out all the time do custom stuff. So we do the flip with Rick Plus. So if you're in there, just, you know how to do the DM, right?
Yes, sir.
Just send it to me. I'm the expert on that. I do have a bank of videos. And the other thing is, you got to understand these systems always update. So every time we do it, you have to reshoot it and redo it. Mail merge, you know what the crazy thing is? Like, you're just one step away from making it work. And it's annoying as hell, right?
Very.
I know exactly what you're talking about, because I had to actually hire an expert to like teach me like a mail merge. But the good thing is, once you figure it out once, you never have to deal with it again. So send me a DM and I'll work on getting you that video. And if not, I'll work with you directly to make sure you get it done. Yeah, so it's just, you're just one or two clicks away from it, because you're talking about databases and merge fields. It's a pain in the ass. But just tell me what system you're operating on. And okay, that will help a lot. And I will, and here's a little, it's easier on like a Windows through Office products. It's much more of a pain in the ass on like Mac and iOS. I don't know why. It's just how it is.
Yeah, I was ready to blow my top this morning.
No. Send it to me. Like, send me that and I'll sit down and I'll take the time. And honestly, that's why I did the Flip with Plus, just to get rid of some of those little customizations you guys need. And that's what it's there for. You send me a DM. I swear to you, you guys can flip with Rec Plus that send me and Zach a DM. We literally answer you. I do not have an assistant that answers it for you. So send that over and I'll fix that for you, because it's just a technical question. And I promise you, in a day, I can have it fixed for you.
Okay. Appreciate it.
What else you got?
That's it, man.
Okay. Now keep doing everything else. I know exactly what you're talking about. Because a long time ago, when I just sold the marketing product, I had thousands of people with the same problem. I go, oh man, I didn't really think this through. And there's so many iterations in computers that I had to sit down and work with a company to like to figure it out. And we did. But what I did is I had to learn how to do a mail merge, and it took me about a week. And it took about 50 hours of training. And I don't want you to do that. Like, you got to stay in wholesaling, because that's where we get lost in doing it. But it's once you figure it out, it's kind of easy. So send me that DM and I'll take care of it as soon as you send it over.
Well, also one more thing, Rick, I had I don't know if Zach had told you about me having trouble getting the water shut off list, but get back out some. They had their lawyer contacted me today and was telling me that it'd be a few days, and he was like, we have to extract the names and stuff from it. And I said, I just need, you know, the addresses and the properties that didn't pay, you know, their water. And he said, yeah, because I mean, if you're going to be contacting these people, and I told him, you know, I'm just doing independent research. And
yeah,
he said, well, if you're going to be contacting these people, he kept saying that, like trying to pull it out that I was going to. But anyway, they're getting me the list. It's just taking them a minute. And
they're kind of stuck, because if he says no, then he becomes legally liable. And it's just, I don't know, dude. I don't know if you ever met a lawyer that just didn't talk out of both ends of their mouth. I got a lot of my friends are lawyers, but guys, if I said sitting and run everything by a lawyer, I would never get, I wouldn't even shoot these videos. Oh, somebody might get upset with you. So you got to learn to just go through the hoops. And 9 out of 10 people, you tell them you got to talk to a lawyer, they're done, like scared to death. So just keep plowing through it. Yeah, lawyers don't scare me at all.
Yeah, they're by far the worst list I've tried to pull yet.
That is the challenging one, but that's the beauty of it. Because if you're having this many issues to get it, imagine how many people behind you try to get it and they just say, screw it, I'm not going to deal with it. So they work. There's a reason it's called an earn list. And just, I'm very happy that you at least fought through it and didn't give up when they threw a lawyer in your face. Because most people go, I don't want that kind of problems. Guys, lawyers are nothing more than fancy people that took a test, that argue stuff every day, and 50% of them are wrong every day. You know why they're wrong? Because they get this little thing called a paycheck. And when I give you information, I have to be right. And that's the difference between me and a lawyer, because I can't tell you how many lawyers told me, you can't do this, you can't do that. I move on to the next one every time. And amazingly, you could ask 10 lawyers the exact same question. I almost guarantee you're going to get 7 different answers from it. how can that freaking be? So that I'm used to all this stuff and I just kind of, but I gave up on doing the whole FOIA thing, the Freedom of Information Act, because they just tie you up forever on the pain in the butt. So just keep working through that and send me that DM and I'll take care of that for you. Okay.
All right, Rick. I appreciate it.
Okay. Awesome, man. Okay. Let's see here. Okay. I've got a M or a C on the screen. You there?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Hi. Hi, Rick. So I had a question real quick.
Who am I speaking with?
I'm speaking to Ravon. I don't know if you, okay. I think you met with me before.
Okay. What's up, Ravon?
So yeah, I had a question. So I had a question. So for the thing is, I talked to this one MLS property, this seller, right? He's very motivated. He's like, oh, I'm very motivated to sell, so don't be scared to lowball the offer. I'm like, all right, no problem. So I never done the MLS. I never got my first deal yet, but I never done an MLS property. But I know he's a motivated seller. So I was like, why not talk to him and see, you know, how far this can go. So I talked to the agent today. She said, yeah, he's very motivated and all. I didn't know what price to do. So I lowballed. It's from Zillow. It's just for sale, but it's by agent. And I think Zach said on a video that if it's MLS, isn't it, what, 75% off the price, if I'm right, or 25%?
70. So I offered 70 or 75, honestly, it's just a shot over the bow. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you know how I feel about MLS. It's just, it's difficult. How long has it been on the market?
Here's the thing, though. It's been on the market for 9 days, but he says he's really motivated. So I was like, why not give it a shot? The thing is, it was on market for around 49,000, 49,000, close to 50,000. Yeah. I offered 25,000, half of that. And she says she'll get back to me. She'll talk to seller and all. So I'm like, yeah, no problem. And I'm thinking that if they don't accept the offer, should I go up to 30 or just...
It depends. What's the ARV on it?
I mean, it's in Detroit, so ARV is probably around 70,000 is low.
Yeah, it just depends. And how much work does it need?
It probably needs a lot of work by the looks of it.
Yeah. So you got a lot of loose numbers in there.
Yeah.
A lot of work. You got to put a number on it. And you got to figure out what the actual ARV is. So I would find somebody that you can work with in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Because Detroit's one of those places that it's weird. It's just like it's house to house.
Yeah. So
I have a neighborhood that I started out in like that. And just, are you doing this locally or virtually?
This is virtually.
Yeah. So you got to fill in some numbers. So you can either try to rely on that realtor, which is probably not going to work out well for you.
Okay.
But so let me ask you this. When the seller says they're motivated, is that what the realtor says? Because you're talking to the realtor, not the seller.
No. That's what the seller and both and the realtor said. So I talked to the seller on Friday and then I talked to the realtor today and the seller's like, hey, don't be offended if you come in with a very low offer because we are motivated to sell. So I'm like, okay, great. I might as well come in there with a low ball offer. Because he said he's motivated to me. You know, I think we build a connection there. We build we talked about stuff like outside of wholesaling to build the rapport. And then I'm like, okay, this might be a good deal. So I came back. He said, call the realtor off for the offer. Don't talk to me. I'm like, no problem. I called up the realtor. She was saying that, yeah, he's also very motivated. So I know that he's not lying. So I just came in with the offer of 25,000, just hope for the best.
So why is he motivated? Do you know?
To be honest with you, I didn't ask him for that.
Okay,
you need to ask.
So the more details you can get, the better you can structure your offer.
I did. I forgot. He wants to retire. So he said he wants to, he's done with the property and he just wants to retire peacefully and all.
Was it a rental property or did he live in it?
No, it's a rental property.
Okay. So this is a part where you draw out their pain.
Okay.
To get the best deal possible. It's like, tell me a little bit more about the property. Like what's been going on with it? And then they'll usually unload on you. If you talk to the seller, not the realtor, just covers it up.
Mm-hmm.
And just the reality is the more you can draw out that pain.
Yeah.
The more you can help them come to a conclusion to the problem.
Okay.
And then number two is you also get to learn what the hell's going on with this property. Listen, sometimes there's just properties that just don't work. I once bought a property. I think I bought it in 2010 in a bad neighborhood. I knew better, but sometimes greed gets the best of you.
Yeah.
I bought it from a bank, an apartment complex for $6,000.
Oh, wow.
It had a $600,000 loan on it, and the windows are busted out. I said, I can fix it. I took 9 months, worked with a contractor, spent a fortune, and I wound up right back in the same position as the bank did.
Oh.
They burned it down. The city put liens on it, and I think I paid $20,000 at closing. It was a big mistake. And what I learned is some properties, it's just the neighborhood owns it. And unless you buy the entire block, you can't fix it. So I just had a really bad area. And so here's another thing I do. I would go look at the history of the property on the property appraiser site and see how many times it's traded hands in the, like, the last 10 years, 20 years. Okay. And when you see a high turnover of property, it means nobody can figure out how to make it work.
Okay.
And they get highly motivated. And there comes a point where some properties just do not work. My highest suggestion to you is find somebody that focuses on Detroit and work with them. And if you don't have somebody, I do have somebody. If you want to send me, you can just send me to support at Flip with Rick and put Detroit in the top, and I'll put you in touch with someone that I know lives there and does this. And
Is it Captain Michael Flipper or Captain Michael? Is that him?
I've got five people total.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I talked,
you got to listen to the truth when they tell you.
Yeah.
If any, like, Detroit is just weird. I would never, I don't do Detroit without people helping me out.
Okay.
Because
yeah,
it's like, I'm blind. It seems like a great deal on paper, but Micah is a person that I trust and know there, but I know four others that I work with too. Guys, it's tough for, like, I don't know Detroit. I just know of the problem with Detroit, but the problem is it's house to house to house. And sometimes they'll tell you, they go, listen, it just ain't going to work. You know, this is the deal. I'm highly suspect that they're motivated that it's listed with a realtor, because most motivated people don't even go through that much time and effort to list a Detroit property. They just find the quickest cash buyer and they move on with their life. So try to dig into it, but being virtual and being your first deal, you're going to need help with it, because here's the truth, guys. Sometimes the lowest end properties are the biggest nightmare. I've done multi-million dollar deals that are easier than $5,000 properties. The amount of drama and, like, BS you put up with them, like, sometimes they're just not worth it. So I don't like anything that's on MLS for the most part, especially as a beginner. So I think that's a red flag. If you can work with someone, try to, and just kind of go from there.
Because I think I contacted Michael a while back. He didn't respond to me. I know he's a busy guy. So
listen, guys, when you guys contact people, especially someone that does the business and you don't do it, you have to offer them value and help. Because if they get, just so you know, I probably get thousands of contacts per month.
Okay.
And then I have to sort through a team on which one to call back. Like, you can't take a person and call back. It's just, it's a time of it. If there's no value being brought to the table, there's not much someone can do for you. And so you need to come in with, you were very vague on your numbers, to be honest with you. It needs a lot of work. That's not a number to me. I can't quantitate it. I think it's, so you've got to go fill in those numbers, construct it well, send a text or an email and follow up with a phone number. And then they'll at least give you guidance and say, I think this is a bad deal because of this. Or if we can do this, or you let me talk to the seller, we can do that.
Okay.
That's what I would do. But you can't go in, like, guys, when you call up someone and go, hey, I need this and that. If you don't give them the numbers and they have to do all the work for you, dude, they look at hundreds, if not thousands of deals themselves. They don't want to do all that work, nor do I. And so I think you just need to be a little bit more detailed and offer, like, a helping hand. And honestly, I say, listen, someone like that guy, like Micah, just say, listen, is there something I can help you with? Do you want me to follow up or help out something with you? And you'll get a lot further with it. I've met a lot of people. I've started with a rough relationship, but once they see that you actually want to help them out, it's completely different. Remember, they're the expert. You're trying to get help. And honestly, I know a JV, you split it, but honestly, on the JV deals, for every 100 JVs I get, there's like four or five that actually work. So we have to sort through all those numbers and it wouldn't be any difference for someone like this. So, and you know, there's other people there too. If you need help, reach out and we'll try to do it, but just try that.
Okay.
And try to get a definitive answer, but you got to give them like real numbers and then they'll go, hey, and then someone like him, I know him well, he'll want to get on the phone and three-way and call the seller and just walk through it.
Okay.
Okay. No, don't put him in touch with the realtor because he'll lose it. I don't want him calling me. Oh, dude, you're telling people to have me call the realtor. I know he won't do that. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I'm going to call directly to him like tomorrow and just, you know, ask him again about the repairs and everything just to confirm.
Got it, but just, yeah, get into the numbers low because if he has to do all those numbers, he's got to take 20, 30 minutes to do it and it just wastes his time, especially if it's not a deal. Whereas if he only has to put like 5 minutes into it.
Yeah.
And he teaches you what to look for, then you go back with a sharper pencil and you find better deals that you can possibly work with him on. Does it make sense?
Yeah, yeah. And a quick other question. So this is another property I've been working on. So 2 weeks ago, I thought I had a deal, but turns out that property's a foreclosure. So I was wondering if we could wholesale a foreclosure house. I keep telling the seller, hey, call the bank, at least strike a deal with them so that you can get your property out of foreclosure. But so,
So what state's it in?
It's the same state. So it's in Detroit again.
Okay.
So and
there's two types of court systems that foreclosures work. Are you aware of that?
No.
So there's a judicial and a non-judicial.
Non-judicial.
So I'm not a lawyer and I don't want you to be a lawyer, but like in the state of Florida, we're judicial, which means when I buy the property, I own it. The deed's in my name. And then if I put a mortgage on it, if I don't fulfill my obligation, the bank can sue me to court to take the property back to, to cover their loan. And in non-judicial state, it kind of works like if you were to buy a car. So have you ever financed a car?
No.
Let me explain how a car works. Say you go out and buy that nice brand new Honda Accord fully loaded and it's, you know, 40 grand.
Okay.
Say you put down 3,000 and then you owe 37,000.
Okay.
Who holds the title?
The bank, right? They still hold the bank.
And the bank keeps it till you pay it off. That's kind of how a non-judicial works, meaning they basically they're on that title and they got it locked down. Mm-hmm. And so it without getting into the legal sense, because I don't do that.
Yeah.
In non-judicial state, foreclosures go much faster.
Oh, okay.
Because the bank actually they're kind of holding the deed in trust. That's basically how it works. Whereas a judicial state is I own it until you sue me and prove it in court. And then you have a judge say, you know, we're going to take it back. So find out what that is in that state. But just because a property's in foreclosure, like it just means they're in arrears on their payments.
Okay.
Here's the key is you don't want to deal with a foreclosure that is close to a final sale. Do you know where the sale date is? Is there a sale date on it?
That's the thing. I don't know at all. I keep telling the seller, hey, call the bank. He never does. So I'm guessing he's unmotivated. So that's why I kind of, you told me.
So once again, I know you're getting started out and I know you're excited about it. Look up. These are public cases. You can look up the docket. You can look up when the last court hearing was and you can go through it. And if you don't understand it, work with your local title company and they'll walk you through it. It's all public record. So there's no reason. You can look it up by their last name. And you can pull up the entire docket on their foreclosure. Okay. And depending if it's a judicial or non-judicial, you can kind of track. Once they have a final judgment and a sale date, it's brutal. It's hard. It's not for the beginner to do that. But if they haven't done that, it means you have a shot. Can you wholesale a foreclosed house, a house that's in foreclosure? 100%. But you need absolute cooperation from the seller. If they're not down to doing it, don't even bother. Most people in foreclosure bury their head in the sand and let the bank take it back because they're scared and they don't know what to do. So once again, you are a guide that helps people out that are in trouble and go, hey, listen. So in the state of Florida, if you're being foreclosed on, you own that property up to the sale date. Once the sale date, it's over. I have stopped the sale within 30 days. Here's the reality is most people, when you're marketing the foreclosures, they usually like to call you about a week before the sale date. And I tell people that are brand new, don't do it because you have to involve a lawyer. Somebody has to pay the lawyer and you're never going to get their commitment to do that. And if you don't have a sale date, you have a great shot because that usually means you're at least 30 days away and you have time. So just got to find out what they owe against the property, which is all public record.
Mm-hmm.
And then find out if they're living in the property or what they want to do. The problem with foreclosure is a lot of people live into it and they're living rent free for years on end. And you're going to take that great deal away from them and it doesn't work out for them. So if the house is vacant, it's even better in a foreclosure situation because you can show the house, you can get a bid on the house, and all you have to do in a foreclosure is pay off the amount that's owed to the bank.
Okay.
And a title company can help you do all that. But you got to understand, most people in foreclosure, they don't want to deal with anything. So you're on par with what they're dealing with.
Yeah.
So try to just find out if they want to sell the house and find out what they owe on the house and the court case. And with that information, then you can work with like another local wholesaler that can walk you through on how to get it done. You can work with us, however you want to do it. But you got to go in and get the facts because there's nothing worse when somebody presents me a deal and they have no information. It's like, why am I going to do all that work if you don't want to do the work? And that's what you're hearing a rhyme here. And I want you to understand, keep digging in. That's how you learn the business. And then you watch how people react to these situations and go, okay, now I know exactly what to do if somebody's at the end of foreclosure. And this is what we need to do. But I tell you, I do not mess around with foreclosures when people, you have to have 100% cooperation from the seller.
Okay.
And so many sellers want, well, I want 10 grand if this deal's done. I'm like, you know what? You're going to be lucky to get out alive on this deal. Most of the foreclosures towards the end, I'm giving them an offer and telling them, listen, it's going to save your credit and you don't have to write a check at the end. There might be some money, but at this situation, right now, if you don't make a decision, I guarantee you there'll be no money. So,
okay.
Got it. And then the amount they owe is going to be in the court case as well, too.
Okay.
And if they owe tremendous amount more money than it's worth, just move on because it's just not going to work out. Not for a beginner.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, Rick.
Okay. You get it. See ya. Okay. What else did I miss here? Darius, you there? Darius, I promise I won't bite. It doesn't matter.
I'm here.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Not much. It's my first time on. I appreciate you taking my call.
That's okay, man. What's going on? What can I help you out with?
Yeah. Well, I've been with you for about 2 weeks now, and I just had a few questions. I'm just getting all my ducks in a row
so I can
get started. Well, my first question is I got with the title company, and they sent me a list of fees. I did watch your video on fees, and I know I have to watch it again.
Yeah,
but I'm wondering if I can send you it. I don't know if I have to be a part of the Flip Rubric Plus in order to do something like that. But, you know, there's a lot of different fees on there. I don't know if they're charging me more for anything, but
so
they're pretty itemized.
I don't know if I recently released, I've done a lot of videos on title companies. The reason why I asked them to put their fees in writing, because guys, they know when you guys are brand new at this and they will play with you like a child toy. Like, because if you don't know, you don't know what they ask for. So here's an easy thing is reach out to three other random title companies. They don't have to be investor friendly and ask for a copy of their fees.
Okay. So I'll do that.
Not comparison. So which state are you in?
I'm in Georgia.
Yeah. So the crazy thing is I try to teach people about the summation of fees because title companies have this crazy thing where they'll call it a title review fee. They'll call it a utility lien fee and just add them up. And I'm a statistical guy. If the number doesn't exceed this, you call the fee whatever you want. When the number exceeds this, we are going to go through a line item by line item and pick away at it. So traditionally in a title company, they're going to charge what they call a settlement fee. And that's just their fee. Remember, that's their fee for having a staff, a receptionist, lights on, and paying for the lease of the building. There's a cost to running a business, right? And they have to charge accordingly. Now, the second set of fees are fees that you and me cannot negotiate. They are set government fees. And you can get that from the state of Georgia. So usually they require to record anything in public records, there's a fee for it. And like whenever you sell and transact on a property in any state, it's so ridiculous how much we pay in these fees. But like in the state of Florida, every $1,000 I record, it's 0.007 cents.
Wow.
0.07. So you can divide it. You can actually do the mathematical. And then there's recording fees. And then you have obviously your taxes. All those are non-negotiable. So when people argue with that, you're just wasting your time. What you want to do is they get a settlement fee, but here's where the title companies will get you. They'll just put a bunch of other little line item fees in there. Just go through everyone and just start asking, what is this for? What does this cover? Now, how does a title company make most of their money, though? Which fee do they make most of their money?
I don't even remember.
Testing you, Darius.
I don't remember.
They sell insurance policies. They sell
insurance policies. That's right.
So they are regulated by the state of Georgia how much they can charge, and you can get that, and they have to legally give you that number. Now, on average, so if the title policy is $2,000, they earn about 55% of that money as their profit. That's how they make most of their money. They use the settlement fee to cover their overhead running costs. And then what they like to do is put a lot of garbage fees in. And if you don't pay attention, they'll just keep stacking them on there. Like I've seen everything on there. Like, so if they charge you a utility lien search, ask them for a copy, because they legally have to give you a report of all the utility lien searches. Like, I know in the state of Florida, all the companies charge me for that. They never do it. And I tell them, unless I have a report right here at the closing, you got to take that fee off. And they learn after a while. But the reality is, Darius, is once you get used to working with a title company and you understand the boundaries they work in, they can't really screw you. And it's just easier. In the beginning, I just accepted everyone's fees. I once got charged a $3,500 settlement fee.
Wow.
I thought that was normal. Do you know how much I pay for an average settlement? And keep in mind, guys, I do a lot of transactions. I pay $395. That's it. End of story. Like, they know that if there's anything more than that, I'm going to like go nuts. Not me, my transaction coordinator. But I paid $3,500 multiple times with my eyes shut because I didn't know the difference. So all I want you to do is educate yourself on it. Everyone's a little bit different. Everyone's a little different fees. And then every time you get a HUD, it should be consistent to the one you had before. And the only times I ever had changes is when the company got sold or something like massively changed in like legislation or law. And so like I'll get $395, but then I get charged like $150 title search fee. So I know on average, I'm going to pay about $700 to $800 in just fees to the title company, because that's what they have to charge to cover their overhead. And if it goes over that number, I'm done. Like I get like, and that's what you just got to understand and go through it. If you ever look on a title HUD on a HUD, there's like so many line item numbers. It's ridiculous. And I recently had a title company. They did one HUD for me. I did one 2 weeks later, and they used a different type of HUD, which is very frustrating to me. So you want to make sure they use the same template so you can go by, hey, what's line item 1263? And just be curious and ask a lot of questions. And then you quickly find out what's negotiable and what's not negotiable. And then I told you, find three other random title companies and ask for a list of their fees. And then you can compare apples to apples. But once you get to a normal like number, like I always said, listen, as long as the closing fee is under a grand, like total, you can sit here and nickel dime me all you want. Just make sure you're going to do what I need to do. So if I bring in a cash buyer for an assignment of contract, help me make sure it goes smooth. But my title company, like I was stuck in Miami this last week. They were letting me do, they let me and my staff do everything virtually, remotely. And they have a hard policy. No, they're like, because we've known you so long, hey, we're going to do this for you. And that relationship, honestly, it's worth its weight in gold. And like, but I've had a title company once try to charge me $12,000 for a closing because they were really pissed at me. And I was working with another attorney, and you just got to be familiar with your fees. So like, you can send it to me, but honestly, it's not hard to find out.
Yeah, and I'm gonna do it.
Go on Wholesaling Houses For Real and post like the fees there and say you're in the state of Georgia and let people comment it. They'll help you out a lot. Like, as long as it's not your private HUD and they post it to you, that's fine. You know, most title companies hide all their fees from people and they just don't share them. And depending on how much of a pain in the ass you are, is that's how they charge you. You know that? That's the truth. I talk to title companies all the time. They go, he's difficult, so we're just going to charge him the $12.95 closing fee. I'm like, oh my God, how do I not be difficult? So I understand your title company holds the keys to a lot of things. I've had, ready for this? I've had title companies do closings for zero cost for me because they felt bad like about something that went down with the transaction. That's the title company you want to work with. So within reason, add up all the fees they're charging and then figure it out from there. But like, I don't spend time on wire fees and stuff like that. It just, and then if you have to do a notary, let them handle it. But just to let you know, a mobile notary is $75. Right. I just had a title company charge me $350. I'm like, show me the bill. They can't show you the bill. Don't pay it. So they unfortunately, the truth is a lot of them take advantage of us wholesalers because they can, and we let them. So if you get the fees up front, they can't double down on back of you. So
yeah, they sent me a list of fees as soon as I got off the phone with them. They sent me a whole list. So
okay. And did you look
I'm
at
them? Go through them. Yeah, I'm gonna go through them again.
Yeah, so go get another title company and compare it to it and just start walking through it and then ask them questions line by line. What's this one for? What's that one for? And just start going. But when it comes to like notaries or like all this other stuff, ask them for invoices for it. If they give you utility lien search, they use a third party company, produce that report. You want that report. I found out in one of my counties, I did 15 recent closings. They charged me for each one of them. And they never actually ran the report. You know why? Because somebody came back to me for an old water bill. And I go, not my problem. They're like, man, we're not paying that. I'm like, let me explain how title works for you. And it just, like, we got in an argument over a $600 bill.
Wow.
I'm like, what's the point of doing a utility lien search if I'm going to get a bill after the closing?
Right.
Like, no, we don't actually run it, Rick. We just tell you we did. I'm like, okay. So you're fine with it. Don't spend too much energy. And what you'll do is you'll find out, like my rule of thumb, if a closing company ever charges you more than $1,000 in closing outside of an attorney, you're usually getting screwed. It's just the truth of the matter.
Okay.
So look it up and see if that rhymes true. And if not, go back down. And then as you do more closings, they'll keep discounting your fees. And so you should get the worst case scenario up front.
Got you.
Okay.
I have one more question. If that's okay. I know that, I think I heard you say that the buyers are supposed to cover those title fees.
So when it comes to title fees, guys, I want everybody to understand on this that everything's negotiable. So you have a price of a house. So if a house is 200 grand, that's what you negotiate on it. Now, when it goes to title, depending on what county and what state you're in, there's what they call customary fees. Customary means this is what the realtor is doing in your local county. You want to find out what the customary fees, ask your title company and they'll tell you. So like in the state of Florida, predominantly the buyer pays for the title insurance and the seller pays the dock stamps. Now it's 100% negotiable. If you get a phenomenal deal, Darius, like phenomenal deal, and they're kind of like, well, I like it, but I'm worried about this. I go, I'll tell you what, if you can take this offer, I will go ahead and pay for your closing fees. And then you got to spell out, that's going to be the recording fees. That's going to be the title insurance, which are to the two biggest. The only thing really negotiable at that point. And then you'll pay the closing fees from the title company because you know it's $1,000, right? So now you know how to negotiate. The only thing left in the air is the property taxes. And I try to dictate, now if it's a reasonable property tax and they're not behind like 5 years, I'll pick it up. But you can negotiate anything. Some people love when you just pay closing costs, but sometimes on a tight deal, I can't pay for closing costs because they could be $4,000 or $5,000 and it doesn't make the deal work. So I only use the closing cost as an incentive to sign a deal with me. I never use it as a rule unless I put it on the marketing itself. So, and then the word closing cost is very misleading. It's like, what's closing cost? usually the closing cost traditionally is what the fee the title company charges you, which is roughly around $1,000. So when you say, hey, I'm paying closing cost, it doesn't overcommit you to anything, just so you know. But sellers like to be clear and know, hey, you know, what am I going to net? Then you have to get into the numbers. If I'm getting a deal 50 cents on the dollar, who cares if I'm going to pay the closing cost? But I will tell them, if it includes property taxes and you're marketing to people with tax delinquencies, I've seen property taxes as far back as 10 years. So you got to be careful what you commit to. And I ask them, and you can look up and see when people pay their property taxes. So when it comes to closing costs, it just becomes part of the negotiation. When you get a phenomenal deal and you just want to incentivize them to close, go, listen, I tell you what, Ms. Smith, if you can commit to me now and we can get a signed contract, I'll go ahead and throw in the closing cost to make this a no-brainer for you. That's it. If you have a really tight deal, don't throw it in, because you're just going to throw in more cost on top of your number and it's not going to work out. Everything is negotiable in real estate. The customary closing charges are set by your local realtors, which influence the title companies. But remember, you can negotiate whatever you want. Make sense?
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. That makes a lot of sense.
Okay, man.
I appreciate you taking my call.
Any help with it?
All right, we'll do.
Okay. Let's see here. Chris, you there?
I'm here.
What's going on?
Not much. Just got off work. How you doing today?
Good, man. How are you doing?
Good.
Let's go, man. What you got?
So first things first, I know I'm probably going to get my head chomped off in this live or in the chats or whatever, because I'm just...
here's the really cool thing is I just tell you the way it is.
Yeah.
Because so many people in these like coaching program stuff, it's just, it's so fluffy. And like, you just, honestly, when someone tells you the truth, if you can get past, like, it doesn't hurt, it just makes you stronger. You're better off that way. So go ahead.
Well, I know one of my questions is already going to be, or probably going to go back to the freewholesaling.com, which I'm in the process of watching. I just got on y'all's YouTube channel just like 2 days ago.
Okay. I
got caught up in the guru stuff, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've got money there that I'm trying to work back.
So were you brand new in the business when you got into that mess?
Yes. I started trying to get into it about a year ago. Yeah. And,
so
it didn't go nowhere.
Chris, would you say it's fair to say that people are new to wholesaling are a big target for like the coaching dollars, right?
Yes.
It's ridiculous. You probably get pursued by one person, right?
I've had two so far now.
Yeah.
And the first one was, like I said, was about a year ago. And then there was one that when I was still doing my research, trying to get back into it and figure things out, I got caught up with another one that, I don't know, I had a big live stream and all that, and it didn't go nowhere.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you not using names on here, because I don't want to offend gurus because they get really upset. But the truth of the matter is, if you're new to wholesaling and you're excited about it, you are the biggest target in the market. The biggest targets, hands down. And I tell you guys every time, there's no free ride in this. So a lot of times when you pay someone, you have these, you probably had huge expectations, right, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is going to, and then so you cry, this is going to solve my problem. I have guidance now. I am completely trusting this person. I know the outcome is going to be positive. And then about sometimes shit. Oh, sorry. Sometimes like a week later, you're like, oh my God, what did I, like this gal or guy is not where it's going to. And then 3 months later, they're just kind of, you get buried in the numbers and all of a sudden, like, what the hell, what's going on here? And just like, you get frustrated, and most people just quit and they're embarrassed. Or some people just got to go, I got to find a way to get back on this horse. I can't keep paying these guys these ridiculous fees and get nowhere. And then they come across freewholesaling.com, and I just tell them the truth. I go, it's tough. It takes a huge commitment, and you have to be very disciplined. And it's going to hurt. It's going to make you wildly uncomfortable. It's not going to physically hurt. It's going to make you uncomfortable. But if you can get past this, amazing things will happen in your life. And I think that's the problem with our business, is everything's so fluffy and fun up front. And then when it gets down to business, people are scared to tell you the truth. I ain't scared, Chris, and I'll tell you the exact truth. Because here's the good part is, you did exactly what I did. I had a mentor just run me under the bus. And by the way, I've had this happen almost my entire career. Every time I step, now I've hired some incredible people, but for the most part, most people just give me this giant fee and then I will help guide you through your journey. Well, I find most, I'd rather just partner up people and make money because I want to put my money where my mouth is. Because if you got to take this giant fee up front, like what are you telling me? And that's what goes on with the coaching community. And it drives me nuts. And you guys that are just starting out, you're the biggest target. That's why I did freewholesaling.com because there's a need for it in the community. And let me ask you, but and then we're going to, before you paid anyone, did they let you look at any courses or do anything before you paid them?
No, it hasn't been any of that. Just like you've talked about, they haven't really showed nothing. They just talked about it.
Let's just talk. So we are not short on words in this country. We are so short on action. It's disgusting. So let's jump into it. What do you want to help out with?
So my thing is, which I've already, like I said, I've been going through the freewholesaling.com videos. I was actually watching them today until I got a notification about you going live. Okay. One of my things, I do the driving for dollars myself. I'm in Phoenix City, Alabama. I'm also going to try it in Georgia because that's where I'm from, Bremen, Georgia, up around the West Georgia area. Uh-huh. And I've already got a buyer that's on my list for the Georgia side that he flips, but he works with wholesalers. He used to do the business itself, so he knows how it goes, but he said he's definitely willing to work with me and even give me help if I need it because him helping me is going to help him.
Got it.
But my main thing is as far as title companies go, how you go about as far as getting in with a title company for, you know, the contracts and everything.
So it's real simple. As you are going to get the, yes, it's in freewholesaling.com. So just go under there. I have so many title videos. So you can do it at freewholesaling.com. You also can check that out on Flip with Rick and just, you can search in there. I know there's a lot of videos, but I do a thorough title company video on how to interview them and how to find the right title company. And the key is you've got to ask the right questions right off the bat. Here's the reality is probably 75% of the title companies you'll talk to are not going to be a good fit. Why? Because they're programmed for realtors and they don't understand what we do as wholesalers. And that's okay. I'm not here to teach them. You do not want to teach your title company how to do wholesaling. It's a disaster and you'll upset them and you're going to have a very bad outcome. So just check that video out. But really, it just revolves around really basic questions. You know,
okay.
You don't have to use the word wholesaler with title companies because you're just labeling yourself. So a lot of people think wholesalers are a pain in the butt. It's just the truth. So, I simply ask them, hey, do you work with cash, all cash deals? And are you familiar with an assignment of contract? And if they fumble with both those, don't even do the dance. It's just a waste of time.
Okay.
Like they have to be, you know, there's title companies that they have their own policies. And if their policies interfere with wholesaling, you're doomed. Like I once did a deal super fast with a title company because I was out of town. I did it. I actually funded it myself. And I had a buyer who's going to buy it the next day. It was going to be a smoking deal. And the title company said, we're not comfortable with this. You have to wait 30 days. And I just looked at him like, who in the heck do you think you are? And I learned the hard way is I had to sit there and wait 31 days. And then they made me sign all these. I had to involve a lawyer. It got so bad. And so a title company can run massive interference. They are the gateway for your assignment of contract. And if they're on your team and they understand what you do, they help you out. They do everything. But a big percentage of title companies do not like working with wholesalers because it makes them very uncomfortable. They think you're doing, and it's just in their head and it's what their boss taught them. And if they don't want your business, don't bring it to them. You're wasting your time. So you're just going to focus around cash deals and assignment of contract. Just go and search the video. It's probably one of my most watched videos. And it, why? Because I have more expertise in dealing with title companies than all of them put together. So, and then if they don't want to do it, because if you try to go to a company that only deals with realtors, whatever you put on the closing date, they'll assume that's your closing date. I bought properties and closed 2 or 3 days later. I want a company that can help me do that if I have to do it. It's not going to be a big deal in the beginning with you. Your main thing is you have a fluent motion to the assignment of contract. And a title company's policies can screw you over. So I had to use a retail title company recently, and they did everything they could to rip my deal apart. They go, hey, Mr. Seller, just to let you know, Mr. Rick's companies, they're making a $25,000 assignment fee. And we don't, and they'll tell you, we're not comfortable with that. We think you need to understand that, and you need to be aware that you have other options. That to me is beyond you do not want companies like that. If you have an agreement with the seller and everybody's okay with it, it's not the title company job to like do massive disclosure. And that's what they'll do if you try to take a realtor-focused title company and deal with like a wholesaler. So my only correction on the title video is I don't tell them I'm a wholesaler, because it's like telling them you're just labeling yourself right off the bat.
All right.
I'm just a cash buyer that I do real estate investing, and we deal with cash. That's it. And then listen carefully to the reaction about assignment of contract. And if it's negative, just politely move on, because you will not be able to work with them. I'm just telling you, they will put you at the end of the pile, and they will run interference all day long. And I lost a lot of deals my first year because I didn't understand how to ask title companies questions. So remember, you can use one title company per state. Like, it's not the end of the world. I prefer if you have it within a county's reach, but they just can't go over state lines. They have to like be incorporated in another state and registered.
Right.
Makes sense?
It does. And then also, because I, like I said, I'm doing I've already been doing Driving for Dollars, got some leads already that's awesome. Local to me that I can get to when I get off work and some of the subdivisions around me and, you know, rural areas. Because I'm right beside Columbus, Georgia and in Phoenix City. But I've got one already out of 5 leads that I've been able to get so far as soon as I got off work. And I've got one guy that's motivated to sell. We talked, discussed it, and talked about the house, and they're wanting to get rid of it because his parents passed away and there's nobody living in it. Yeah. It's been on the market for 114 days.
Well, listen, if you ever need to partner up with someone, do his deal. By the way, I love the area you're doing in it. It's, you have a really good area. I'm just telling you, I love that area. It's just, it's ripe for what you do. And there's a lot of people in our community, not necessarily do that area, but like not too far from you. And they're doing extremely well, and they just got it started. So if you need to JV with us, go to sellmypaper.com. If you want to work a little bit more directly with us, you know, Flip with Rick's always an option. It's not a requirement, but I love to do deals. I love to do deals like where you're at, because I think you're in a really, really good market. And I think you're very wise to what you're doing. So keep going. Keep asking the questions. Keep going through freewholesaling.com. Freewholesaling.com, I'm the only guy who's going to tell you have everything you need there. The Flip with Rick Plus is just another level we put on there. We didn't take anything away from Flip with Rick Plus. We just gave you some more time. And we don't sit here and go on like 3-hour boring like teaching things. We just work direct. And the really cool thing with Flip with Rick Plus is it's like another level that it's affordable for everybody. And if you want to work with us and see us in person, everybody can do it. Never, ever is going to be a requirement. And I would have the same conversation with you, Chris, if you're a member or not with it. But just keep doing what you're doing. You're moving in the right direction. And I think you'll do very well. Just keep moving forward. That's the key with it.
And as far as contracts and stuff, that just to confirm that, you know, as far as me going to make sure that I'm good with my contracts here, would that be through the title company also?
Yeah, I just, you always want to run your contract by the title company, make sure they're okay with it before you submit your first one. So I'd rather you submit it. By the way, I've almost done it in every state. The only people who ever have a problem with my contract are lawyers who are looking to get paid. So I could give the lawyer the contract. It doesn't matter. They're always going to make a change because that's how they feel. But run everything through your title company, because that's the person who has to help you the most when you do it. Your title company is basically going to be, I don't say your employee. It's more of like a partner, and they help you guide you through. And title companies have been a big part of my success. So make sure you choose the right one. and they understand what you're trying to do. And when they know you're really trying to help people out and get stuff done, they'll actually be more of a proponent of what you do, and they'll help you. And they'll actually help close people that are like, well, is this a scam? What's going on? I bring them over to my title company all the time. It works every time.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Because like I said, this guy that I'm talking to and working a deal on is, like I said, is motivated. He said he's ready to sell it as soon as we can get it approved, because they don't want to deal with the house no more.
Yeah. I mean, it's, remember, you don't have to wait till a probate's over. You don't. That's just a myth created by lawyers who want to get paid. So if he's the, so check with your title company, find out if he's the person that can enter into a contract.
And he's the owner of the house.
Okay. Go get it.
He's the one that's got it.
Yeah. Call me if you need anything. We're live all this week. And then if you decide you want to do some more, you know how to get more personal with me. But either way, you have all the tools, man. I like what you're doing. Just keep doing it, Chris.
All right. Appreciate it.
Okay, bud. I'll see you. Okay, guys. Listen, make sure you're subscribed to this channel, because I get to know you a little bit better one-on-one. I won't wear glasses every time. Sometimes you got to give your eyes a break. You guys have context. You know what I'm talking about. Make sure you subscribe to this channel. Make sure you hit that like button. Also, check us out on Flip with Rick. We'll be live all this week. And make sure you check out my son's channel, Zach Ginn. We do all these channels so we can separate some of the information so you can connect with who you want. And also gives a great option for you guys to connect with us on doing these live streams and doing the one-on-ones. I don't know of anybody else that does one-on-ones that doesn't have some sort of hefty fee, or you got to be part of a program. Listen, we just want you to get the truth. We want you to engage in wholesaling. I don't care how you got here. I just want you to be successful. And the more people I can help, the greater the legacy. And that's what I want to do with this channel. So guys, if you got value from this, make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you comment on all the future ones. And we'll see you guys shortly. I'll see you guys. Appreciate it. Have a good one.